I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's finally here. Mm-hmm. So I can really see this game going in many directions. Now, will both these defenses man up in this situation? And will this be a close game? Will it be a low-scoring close game? Potentially, because I really feel like that's the way these things go. But every sign is pointing to these offenses doing everything they want. Absolutely everything they want. But, you know, both the Steelers and Patriots defenses have had good moments at times during this season. After the Patriots got off to that horrific start defensively, they got it together for several weeks. Last week was not one of those weeks against the Dolphins. The Pittsburgh Steelers had a pretty damn good defense there for a while. They lost Joe Hayden in the secondary. And they end up losing Ryan Shazier, as we know. Things have fallen apart for them. And the Baltimore Ravens put up 38 points on them the last time that we saw that defense. So, I mean, there are different versions of these teams. We've seen Ben Roethlisberger play horribly at times this year. We've seen Tom Brady play horribly at times this year. We've seen Ben Roethlisberger put up 500 yards. We've seen Tom Brady throw 5 touchdown passes. So what permutation of these two teams are we going to get? And I know this is sort of a cop-out, is that I think it's going to be somewhere in the middle. I think they're going to both play well. I think it's going to be more low-scoring than people think. I know it's the highest total of any of the games this weekend, and I don't necessarily think that it's going to end up that way. You know, I think whoever wins is going to be 24-21, something like that, as opposed to 44-41.
Well, as we've discussed already, you have a ton of weapons there for Pittsburgh that can match what Miami had to offer the other night versus the Patriots. And, of course, you would, if you were going to pick one of these offensive teams, you would pick the Steelers with the quarterback of Roethlisberger and with Antonio Brown, who's as good as it gets at wide receiver position in the NFL. He may be the top guy, arguably the top guy in all the league at that position. And then Le'Veon Bell, and then you factor in Martavis Bryant. Juju Smith-Schuster is back after his one-game suspension. So he has a plethora of weapons he can get the rock to. Defensively, I would give a slight edge, especially the rush defense to the Dolphins, and we know what they did to New England, a team that put up almost 200 yards rushing on them in their previous matchup, only had 40, not only think it was 40, it was like 25 yards on the ground. I mean, they just shut down that running game for New England. They shut down everything. You know, the offense barely had 100 yards of total offense in the first half. If that. So Pittsburgh, knowing that this has been their Achilles heel, this is the one team they haven't been able to lick as often as they'd like. You know, can they try too hard? Sometimes you can get out over your skis and you want to exact some revenge and you try too hard. So they have to guard against that. But I could see this be a game played in the 20s. And of course, New England will not play as poorly as they did last week on the road. I don't envision that occurring whatsoever. It should be fun. It's going to be another hard-hitting ball game. But I give Pittsburgh the edge. And I know New England, I think they're favored, right, in this ball game. Yeah. But Pittsburgh at home. You get them in there, you get them in your kitchen, and you, this is a game you've circled. Your head coach has been talking about it for 3 weeks now, overlooking another arch rival in the Ravens, and you get in a shootout with them, and this is the one you've wanted. This is the one you've circled. Okay, now you get them there. I think Pittsburgh should be favored in this one.
No, they should not be favored.
History says no, but the way they're playing and you get them at home, I would say yeah.
Yeah, I don't. But that's the thing, the way they're playing. I mean, Joe Flacco and a Ravens offense that has struggled most of the year tore them up in their building last week. So, I mean, I this game is so unbelievably important for the Steelers in so many ways, because if they have any shot of beating New England in the playoffs, they have to be at Heinz Field. They will not go up to Foxborough and win that game. There's no way. And I don't. I mean, they never beat the Patriots in the playoffs. So I don't think that I mean, this game, if they get this win and then they meet again in the postseason, it's at Heinz Field, maybe I'll give them a shot. I just, the problem with the Steelers is, and this is something that against the Patriots in this matchup, they don't know how to defend Brady. They can't get after him. Whatever it is, and I think I know mostly what it is, but they don't like to press wide receivers. They never have. The Dick LeBeau system, then Keith Butler comes in. They don't like to press wide receivers. And if you watch any time that the Patriots really have struggled offensively, they have been running into defenses that are manhandling their wide receivers at the line of scrimmage. The Steelers refuse to do that.
Well, they need to change their tune.
Now, they may. Now, all I saw, because it was a Monday night game with the Patriots and the Dolphins, all I saw on Twitter from the people in Pittsburgh that I still follow was, look at how the Dolphins are attacking these wide receivers at the line of scrimmage. Yeah. Why can't we do this? Why can't we do this? So if they can't get to Brady with their linebackers, because, you know, with the 3-4, it's those outside linebackers that are really trying to get after him. They can't get to Brady like they never do, and they're not pressing those wide receivers, and they sit back in that flimsy zone, then they're going to get picked apart like they always do. So we'll see if this is finally the time that they change their mentality and figure it out.
No, is Joe Hayden back? I know that there's a reason they plucked him from Cleveland. Is because he's a guy that can be a press corner.
They don't know yet.
And you know, they'd love to have him back, especially with this matchup. And I would agree with you.
That's there's a chance. There is a chance he plays.
He's been out for a while. But there's a reason you go out and you have to mix things up. You don't want to give them one look. You want to disguise what you're what your defense is, and you may come out and look like your zone. You're playing off of a guy prior to the snap. You cozy on up to him and try to reroute him, and that's crosses and everyone. So I would think Keith Butler, the defensive coordinator, would want to come in with a more more creative game plan, and I'm sure he's well aware of that history of not being able to stop Brady and put pressure on Brady, but you
he didn't do anything about it last year in the playoffs. He didn't do a damn thing about it. It was the same crap. Mm-hmm. So he better know about it. I mean, that's the problem, is it's every single time they think they can do the same thing, and they can't. And who's covering Gronk, by the way? I mean, that would have been a – you would have seen a lot of Shazier on Gronk.
Right. And you like that matchup, but now you don't have him. So is it going to be Williams?
Vince Williams, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to handle that. I really don't. Because you would think if they actually do get in the faces, like Brandon Cook couldn't do a damn thing in that game. One, because that Xavier, whatever his face was.
Xavier Howard.
Yeah, Xavier Howard was all over him. Yeah. And then two, I mean, even when he got past the jam, down the field, he was all over him. So,
right.
I mean, so you that same thing happens again, and Gronk is there. You would think it'd be a big Gronk game. You would think.
Yeah, I guess L.J. Ford has been getting a lot of playing time along with Williams, and so one of those guys would have to cover him. And if you get Hayden back, that's great. You can lock him up on Cooks, and then you can turn more attention towards a Gronk and the others.
Yeah. So I still am gonna. I have to. It's just one of those things where I have to pick the Patriots until I see some sort of change. You know, the game that I think is going to be higher scoring is going to be the Rams and the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
And I may look back on this and these statements that I've said. This has got, like, bad prediction written all over it. But I think that those two teams are going to just go back and forth and back and forth and back. It's going to remind you of the Texans Deshaun Watson game against the Seahawks up there, where they scored a whole bunch of points. That Seahawks defense was getting ripped apart, and the Texans defense couldn't do a damn thing about it either. That's the game I think is going to be higher scoring and a fun one. And that total, over-under total for that, is like 7 points lower than the Pats and the Steelers.
Well, you look at the Rams, and they lost a couple of starting cornerbacks. And so Russell Wilson, if he gets some protection, which we know he won't, going up against this front with Aaron Donald and Robert Quinn, these guys have been just eating up quarterbacks here of late. I think Quinn has 4 sacks his last 3 ball games, and Aaron Donald 3 straight games with at least 1 sack. So can they protect Russell Wilson? You know he's going to be running for his life. And we were just talking about the history between the Pats and the Steelers. Look at this. Remember during the heyday, the Legion of Boom, and the Seahawks getting to the NFC Championship game every year? What was the one team that gave them fits. It was always the Rams. And I know they're under a different management now with Sean McVay, but that was a defense that knew how to stop Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson. And the defense is there minus those cornerbacks that are hurt, so we'll see how they pick up the pieces there going up against Russell Wilson. And then the Seahawks, they limp into this one after that. Just, it was a horrible game versus Jacksonville and everything that transpired on the field and off the field with the fans. And of course, no one was suspended after the actions of many in that ball game. But this is a must win for the Seahawks. In the first match, it wasn't like 13-7 or 13-9.
Yeah, it was low scoring. Yeah, it was definitely low scoring. I don't think it's going to happen again. So there was something you mentioned, those Rams teams giving trouble. Jeff Fisher was coaching those teams. So
when they were in St. Louis, yeah.
Think about I'm trying to find this exact stat. So Fisher's last three starting quarterbacks, Nick Foles, Case Keenum, and Jared Goff. they combined for a passer rating of 72.6 playing under Fisher. Since then, those three have managed to escape Fisher. They've combined for a passer rating of 98.1.
They escaped that offensive line, and they had a couple of number one picks on that offensive line that didn't pan out for the Rams.
It said in this article here on USA Today, it says that's basically the difference between Phillip Rivers and Tom Savage. It's amazing. Okay. We have to play it because it's just too funny not to. But I am upset at Coop and whoever that person is down there that's trying to wedge themselves between us and good content for reasons unknown to me.
It's none of her business.
Right, exactly. Just sit there and do the crap job that you do every day and zip it.
Turnstile.
Right. Like, let the people that are trying to do something do something. You just sit there and
messing with greatness.
Right. Sit there and stick a name tag on somebody.
Yeah, act like you have power.
Right. Go outside and smoke a cigarette and shut up.
Yeah, with your bad fitting suit.
Right. Okay. Now that I got that out. Here is Coop and Mikey B.
Cooper. NFL picks.
Week 15. All right, Coop, let's start the Jets.
Wait, hold on. Stop for a second.
ID himself, huh? Okay.
Usually it's you saying I'm here with Coop. Why did you do it this way?
We were testing the levels, and he started it. I said, let's just roll with it.
And he said, Cooper.
Cooper.
Cooper. NFL. Picks.
Week 15. All right, Coop, let's start the Jets at Saints. Saints favored by 16 points.
I'm taking the Jets.
Why?
Jets still got a chance to get in, right? Well, their team is decent. They can surprise you sometime. Not 16 points. I ain't give up no 16 points to nobody. I don't care who it is.
Miami at Buffalo. Buffalo favored by 3 points.
I'll take Buffalo.
Why?
I think Buffalo might have a little better team than Miami. They lost last week. Bad, I think. So they should come out. They should come back this week.
The biggest game of the week, New England at Pittsburgh. New England favored by 3.
Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is tough. Pittsburgh still got that same tough in them. They're still curtain defense. They're still there.
What?
He's so far off. He knows nothing about the NFL, does he? But that's what makes it great. He said someone lost bad between Miami and Buffalo. They both won last week.
Yeah.
And then the steel curtain defense, they just got roasted. Coop, by the way, it's amazing. Every week he goes 1-2. Every single week this guy goes 1-2.
He's consistent.
Steel curtain defense. They're still there.
They're still there. nobody is more consistent than Coop. He's 11-23-2 on the year. All right, so we like to have Coop give the picks, and then we like to have a little fun with him as well. So we have many, many pronunciations of Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Mikey B decided to have Coop give it a shot.
And finally, Coop, one of the best players in the NBA. He's on the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's his name. How do you say this?
I can't talk good. I know I can't say that name. I can't even say that name. Gigani. Anti. Latin to me. I can't even call that name. Like Andy. No. He the best player, too?
He said, he's Latin to me?
He goes, I can't talk good. Wow. Self-awareness there from Coop, huh?
J-
he was going, good. Let me hear that
I
one again.
Can you say that name? Gigani. Anti. Anti. Latin to me. I can't even call that name.
Antioch.
He the best player, too?
Gigani Antioch, I think is what we've gone with. That's what we got out of that, right? Gigani Antioch. All right. Coop.
Wow.
Might be the last time you hear him. That might be it. It's over.
Agents.
Yeah, damn. Seriously. Mm-hmm. All right. Coming up next, Bogus Update and Willie Colon, former offensive lineman. He played. I didn't. Brian played. I didn't. So they can gang up on me next.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
One of my favorite former athletes.
Favorite.
I like him. I think he's good. I think he's good. He went to Hofstra. I think he's good.
That's why
played for the Steelers.
He went to your alma mater.
And he was in Pittsburgh when I was there.
And he was in Pittsburgh.
He gave good interviews. He was good. I like Willie Colon. What's wrong with liking Willie Colon?
He didn't give you coach speak?
No, he didn't. He gave good. He won that media award. Several times. Won it in New York and he won it in Pittsburgh. The media gives the players an award for being the most cooperative or whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. Won it in both two different places. Guy's the man.
Is he getting a show on FAN as well, or is that where your similarities end?
No, that's where they end. Yeah.
Media award.
Yep. So, they could have done a nice job by hiring Willie Colon if they wanted to. I thought he'd be good. That Willie Colon.
What? Why are you looking at me?
Just, I thought you were going to have a response. I was waiting for you to say something.
Willie Colon.
You seem to be
If I would have spent the last 3 years with Willie Colon, maybe it'd be just like be a happier person.
Hey,
maybe.
Thanks, Greg. So your report's brought to you by Cremo Shaving Cream. Beards have needs. Cremo Beard Products care for your beard no matter the length. Try Cremo Beard Products, available at Walmart and Target. We all wanted Brock Osweiler back on the field. Just unfortunate that Trevor Siemian had to get hurt to make it happen.
Osweiler's in the gun. Second and eight. Play fake. Sets in the pocket. Looks over the middle. He's got Hyman there. Hyman makes the catch inside the 20. Stiff arms himself away from a defender and rolls into the end zone. Touchdown, Denver.
Dave Logan, Broncos Radio. Two touchdown passes. One running for Osweiler after Siemian injured his left shoulder in the second quarter in Indy last night. Brock, 12 of 17 for 194 yards.
I've been on a little bit of a roller coaster ride for about 2 years. And just to go out there, you know, Thursday night football with my teammates who I love and I was just having fun.
The Broncos scored the final 18 points of the game to beat the Colts 25-13. Indy's lost five straight. Tight end Brandon Williams left the game on a stretcher after a helmet-to-helmet collision while blocking for a punt. He went to the hospital but was back at the stadium before the game ended, diagnosed with a concussion. The Cardinals are reportedly placing Adrian Peterson on injured reserve with a neck injury, and the Lions will be down two starting offensive linemen, right tackle Rick Wagner and center Travis Swanson, for tomorrow's game with the Bears.
Travis Swanson's not playing?
I know. What are they going to do?
Man,
against those Bears defensive Swanson. Linemen?
Man.
Samsonite? Swanson?
I'm going to make the same joke.
Well, stay with me, Mikey, because it was Jewish Heritage Night in Oakland last night.
Baruch Adonai.
Really?
Eloheinu Melech Haolam.
And there
what is Kwanzaa night?
And we'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
And there is a Yahweh because Israeli forward Omri Caspi put up 17 points and 11 assists, both season highs on Jewish Heritage Night.
You know, my family's in town always for Hanukkah, so it's always fun to have family around.
The timing's mind-boggling.
Is an Israeli forward for the Nets?
That's right.
For the Warriors.
Not for the Nets.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Cool. Progress.
Caspi and the Warriors won their eighth straight 112-97 over the Mavericks.
LeBron. It's Roy Moore's favorite team.
One of our attorneys is a Jew. See that right there?
Our favorite basketball player is a Jew. Just so you know.
There were about 20 rabbis in Alabama. They called them all. Couldn't find them. Which one of y'all is Ron Moore's rabbi?
Yeah. All right.
LeBron and the Cavs beat Lonzo Ball and the Lakers in Cleveland 121-112. That's 16 wins in 17 tries for the Cavs. The Knicks got a 111-104 win in Brooklyn but lost Kristaps Porzingis in the third to a sore left knee. He'll see team doctors today. And on ice last night, the Lightning won their sixth straight, 4-1 in Arizona. Fifth straight win for the Flyers, 2-1 over the Sabres. Fourth straight win for Chicago, 5-1 in Winnipeg. Boys.
Thanks, Bogus. Joining us right now, he is one of my favorites. That's right. Willie Colon, former NFL offensive lineman, a Super Bowl champion. He's an NFL analyst. I think he does very fine work. Willie, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. What's going on?
Well, this Steelers-Patriots matchup is what's going on, and I'm not sure I know how it's going to go. I think everybody expects it to be a very high-scoring game, but I'm not so sure. What do you think is going to happen Sunday at Heinz Field?
It's going to be a, you know, one of those rough-and-tumble type games. You know, the question comes down to, can the defense of the Pittsburgh Steelers stand up? You know, obviously, like you just mentioned, from offensive side, you know, they can compete. They can go pound-for-pound with the Patriots, but you know, in that secondary, you know, if there's a chance, I know Joe Hayden was struggling with his injury. There's a chance that he can come back Sunday. He wants to play. It's still up and, you know, still questionable if he can go out there. But it's going to have to go down to that secondary. You know, Gronk is back, you know, the mismatch problems he causes. And, you know, Patriots coming off a loss, you know, they come back hacked off and pissed off. So, you know, it's hard to go against the Patriots after a loss on Monday night on national television. I'm still riding with the Steelers on this one.
Now, Willie, were there teams or a team that really just had your number during your NFL career, and any time you saw that team, you were thinking revenge, and did you have to caution yourself because revenge can sometimes be a detriment? You want it so badly that you end up tripping over your own feet.
Yeah, when I was in Pittsburgh, you know, we always had the mindset that we can walk into anybody's backyard or any back alley, and we can, you know, pound for pound, kick the tail out of you. We felt like we was that physical matchup. We had that edge, that we was the tougher team. But the Patriots, one thing they do well, they don't beat themselves. You know, they're really efficient on third down and tackle well. They don't make mistakes. They don't really rack up a lot of penalties, and they don't turn over the ball. So, you know, we knew going against the Patriots, you know, from a physical standpoint, we could knuckle up with them. But we had to play smart, and we had to execute, and we had to pay attention to detail. And that's what the Steelers have to do. You know, it's not going to be one of them games where, like the Baltimore game, it's going to be the mindset, well, we're going to try to make each other tap. You know, can we play four quarters of efficient football? Can we run the ball? Can we do the necessary things to keep Brady off the field? Because that's the key. You know, you got to rush. You got to rush in with your front four or three, and you got to be able to keep them off the field at times and really, you know, sustain drives. And Ben can do that. But last, you know, you go back to the AFC Championship, Le'Veon Bell went down. Antonio Brown, you know, Belichick took him out the game. And, you know, the secondary for the Steelers was a no-show. So can they make the right adjustments going into this game where they can combat Brady and hopefully get the win?
Gio and Jones, Willie Colon across the country on CBS Sports Radio. You can follow him on Twitter at WillColon66. Does it matter that the Patriots lost their last game? Because I think that people assume when the Patriots come off of a loss that they're going to be more focused and better and angry, and Belichick is going to run them into the ground this week, and they're going to come out like crazy on Sunday. You've played in these matchups. Does something like that matter?
No. Listen, Tom's going to do what Tom's going to do. You know, the strength of what the Patriots do well is, you know, they improvise and they adjust and they don't, like I just mentioned, they don't beat themselves. But Brady doesn't get caught. He doesn't get caught up in the emotions, nor does Belichick, obviously. You can tell by his press conferences. But they play football and they understand that each game is the next game and you gotta prepare from a mental standpoint. They understand they're going into Pittsburgh. It's going to be hostile. It's going to be emotional rivalry. If you talk about, you know, a lot of the players during their pressers, you know, the Steelers seem more up to it than the Pats. The Pats are, you know, they stay even keel. And that's what the Steelers have to do. They got to kind of, you know, keep the emotion, keep the drive, keep the fight. But they got to use their brains, and they got to play cerebral football. And they just got to go out there and play smart. If they're able to do that, I think the Steelers can do it.
Last question for me on this matchup, Willie. What were the difficulties when you faced this Belichick defense? Matt Patricia, of course, is the defensive coordinator currently. What was the difficulties in facing them?
They had Ty Colvin. I mean, they had Teddy Bruschi. They had Rodney Harrison. I mean, they had a defense now. Even Adelius Thomas was on that defense. So they had guys that could flat-out play football. But at the end of the day, you know, when you look at the tape, it was more self-inflicted wounds than anything. And so that was most frustrating, that if we just really just stuck to our game plan and really played efficiently, you know, we could have won a lot more matchups. But Steelers don't beat – I mean, the Patriots don't beat themselves, and they get it done. And they don't make excuses. And so I think that's the mindset going into Sunday's game, that the Steelers just have to really be on the P's and Q's, that they're going to have to play well not only on third down, like I just mentioned, but also on first down, staying, you know, short yardage, be able to run the ball, lean on Le'Veon Bell. You know Antonio Brown is going to be double-teamed. He's going to be hard to guard. And Ben's going to have to make some plays on his feet.
You know Ben very well. You've been one of his closest friends. He seems to have had sort of an emotional year. I mean, in the beginning, yeah, last offseason, he had the "I got to think about retirement," then he came back, right, and in the middle, the whole "maybe I don't have it anymore." Is he at that point in his career where he's just, well, I guess really the question is, what's going on with him? I mean, you probably talked to him. What can you share with us about what this year has meant to him?
Well, I think when you put his career as a whole, you know, he's been through three eras of football. I mean, you talk about from Joey Porter, Hines Ward, to, you know, now you're dealing with, you know, you're dealing with Antonio Browns and Le'Veon Bells. And you have Willie, you know, he's seen a lot of guys go in and out of the locker room. Some of his best friends, like me, Heath Miller, Brett Kiesel, those guys are now gone. He's not the same man. You know, he's a father of three. You know, he has a beautiful wife. You know, he's just a totally different man. And I think right now when you look at his career, he's definitely a Hall of Famer, hands down. And, you know, I think for him, you know, he, from a physical standpoint, you talk about all the things that we've seen from the injuries with Ryan Shazier, guys getting nicked, guys getting down. You know, it's a lot. It's a lot to adjust to. And I know he's a proud family man. He's a Christian man now. And, he, you know, I think he's thinking about his morality after football. So I think that all weighs up, you know, all counts in. And you can't blame him, man. I mean, he's done amazing things. Two Super Bowls. He's definitely going down in the books as one of the best to ever do it. You know, you can't fault him if he decides to say, hey, this is it for me.
Let's talk about what happened there in Jacksonville and Seattle last weekend. Now, I've been taught, you know, they're in victory formation and you swipe at the ball even though you know the game is over and you're going to lose. Did you have a problem with what Michael Bennett was doing?
I did, yeah, and I like Michael Bennett. I think he's a fantastic player. I like what he does on and off the field as far as his social awareness. But I think, you know, a lot of times, and I understand if you want to, you know, some guys like to use the excuse where I'm gonna play, you know, to the very last whistle. That's fine, but guys get hurt in those situations too because, you know, you look across the defense and it's usually a gamesmanship thing. You know, there's times when I've been in victory formation. And, you know, you look at a guy, he'll tell you, you look at him, he's like, all right, I get it. Mm-hmm. And he'll just kind of settle down and, you know, you guys shake hands and go about your way. But, you know, I think that was just, you know, Valley, he's done it before at times, but I think that sometimes that's unnecessary because, you know, listen, guys can get rolled up and the ankle and knee, he's not really aware. He's thinking you're going to pretty much settle down. So I think Michael needs to, you know, at times, if he can, you know, I can't tell a guy how to play. If that's what he does, that's what he does. But I think it's unnecessary, especially that and during that situation of the game. You know, you lost, you win, you win. You just got to take it.
So what he's referring, he's talking about, he's alluding to sometimes you brother-in-law.
Right.
Yo, dog, correct. Okay, you know it's over. And so you ease up.
And you know the guy gives you the look. It's a mutual conversation through the eyes.
Yeah.
And a guy would tell you, I've been on the field where a guy would tell you, like, listen, I'm still coming.
Yeah.
Now you got to look at your guy next to you like, well, he said he's coming, so we coming. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a conversation through the eyes. And, you know, I get it on Michael's standpoint, but, you know, there are no situations that's unnecessary. Just take the loss and, you know, get back on the bus, so to speak.
Gio and Jones and Willie Colon on CBS Sports Radio, Super Bowl champion, former NFL offensive lineman. You can follow him on Twitter at WillColon66. Speaking of something along those lines, your other former team in the New York Jets made
those
some news. Some news with the offensive coordinator, John Morton, admitting that he gave up, that he wasn't going to put his players when they were getting blown out by Denver in a tough position, running routes, maybe getting hurt. So they ran the clock out and they ran the ball as opposed to at least trying to get some points up on the board. Is that something that's common in your eyes, or is this a disgraceful thing, the giving up in that type of situation?
I wouldn't say it's disgraceful, but I was disturbed when I heard that, because if you go back to that Denver game, it's just, to be honest, they were flat. You know, they didn't like they came off the plane and it was ready to go. And that sometimes that happens is necessarily not there's not a right answer to why that happens. But I felt like if I'm out of halftime during that game, for that team to kind of run the ball and it's really not from optics, they looked like they were giving up. And I felt like coming out of halftime against Denver, this past Sunday. They should have went no huddle. And I think we have to understand, you know, Todd Bowles' job is going to be judged not from the wins and losses standpoint that's already been public. It's going to be judged about how what the competitive product is going to look like on the field. So I know there's guys on that team who want to win. And I feel like, you know, you trying to – I don't know what was his reasoning for say, like you just mentioned. But I feel like that was the wrong choice to do. You got to play – you play to win the game. I'm not trying to steal the Herm soundbite. But I think you got to, you play, you fight, you scrap, because that's what it's about. You never give up. So to hear that he waved the white flag, so to speak, that didn't resonate well with me, because I've been on teams where, you know, I've been down two or three touchdowns, but we've gone down swinging. That's the culture and grit you want to have for your team. Sometimes teams are going to beat you up and they're going to have the upper hand, and that day is not your day, but you never want to hear your OC saying that the reason the calls he made because he was tapping. I think that's just – that's just the wrong message and signal to send. I didn't like that at all, to be honest.
You can think it, but don't you ever voice that. With 11 minutes left in a game and you're going to give up? Come on. Oh, that's a horrible message to send. Especially what were your – go ahead. I'm sorry, Willie.
Yeah, especially with a team that's really done well this year from a standpoint of, you know, staying in close games. They should have won a lot more games than they did. And just, you know, this is a team that's grown. It's a young team. A lot of the locker room changed. Guys are fighting for believing each other. You know, you can't have the locker room feeling like they're going out and fighting and doing all the necessary things to possibly try to win. And then upstairs in the booth, the guy's like, oh, I'm just, you know, let's just take, you know, let's have a coffee day. You know, let's just tap out. That's ridiculous. So.
It definitely is. Okay, everyone thinks the Eagles are their ego is cooked because they lost Carson Wentz. What say you?
No, I think Nick Foles will do a good job. You know, he's not as mobile as Wentz, and they'll probably tweak some things in the offense to kind of, you know, suit Nick Foles' position, his skill set, rather. But the defense is great. They have a run game with Jay, John, and LeGarrette Blount. You got Ertz. You got guys. You got pieces around to really make that offense go. So, listen, if I was Eagles fans, there's nothing to worry about. Foles, you know, he can handle the helm. He'll be fine.
Willie, thanks for the time this morning. We love talking to you. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Willie Colon, former NFL offensive lineman. Check him out. You could see him on SNY in New York, does some work for ESPN. And he's a Super Bowl champ, and he's a Ben Roethlisberger friend, and he's a good dude. And he went to Hofstra, and, you know, can't say enough good things about Willie Colon.
And you're going to forgive him for cursing?
Yeah, he did do that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Well, we dumped it. Nobody heard it.
I mean, it can't be perfect. I know you love him, but you got to have one strike against
him.
Yeah,
right? Nobody heard it. Yeah. That's fine.
Well, I heard it.
Well,
I was bothered by that. You should know where he is. You're on national radio, man. You don't curse. Come on. Come on, Willie. You're slipping.
Yeah, right. Okay.
You're slipping, dog.
We only have audio of you doing that a couple
all
times.
All that perfection, and then he screws it up. Your love
affair
with him.
He didn't screw it up for me.
He screwed it up for me.
No, he didn't.
Well, of course not. No, you love the man.
I do. He's a wonderful human.
Yeah.
Yep.
Outstanding.
Yeah, what?
Well, that wasn't supposed to be recorded. I didn't know I was being recorded then. See, that's on you guys.
Okay, how about the
that
time?
That was before the show even started.
Live on
we
the air.
We weren't even rolling then, or the show wasn't on. What about live on the air?
Do you have the one where it's live on the air and he cursed?
I have not cursed live on the air.
Yes, you have.
I have not.
Yes, you have. When you were telling the story about the cop pulling you over, you said BS, the full word, and that happened.
But that was germane to the conversation.
Oh, was it?
And I was putting it all in context,
So you're admitting that you did do that?
Possibly.
Okay.
Yeah. You see, you don't even have it, so no, I'm not admitting it. It didn't happen. It didn't occur.
All right, so you're saying it did not happen?
No.
All right, so we'll take a break. We'll come back, and if we have the audio, then it happened. If we don't, then I'll give you credit, all right? And I'll like you more than Willie Colon again.
You promise?
Maybe. I don't know. But right now, I like Willie Colon a hell of a lot more than you. Coming right back.
It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Kareem Hunt or Carlos Hyde this weekend in fantasy football? Hashtag ask the pros. Well, I do have some thoughts on this.
You do?
Yeah. But first, I want to tell you to sign up to be an O Rewards member today.
Well,
damn it.
Why don't you tell me,
that's
damn
right.
It.
And start earning instantly. O Rewards members are $5 back for every 150 points you earn. It's fast, easy, and free and only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
We like free.
Kareem Hunt was awful for a long period of time.
Yes.
And last week, he finally got on the board with a touchdown and looked a hell of a lot better. Yes. If you think he's going to continue to trend in that direction against this good LA Chargers defense, then take that leap of faith if you have both those guys. Me personally, I mean, if you can start them both, then start them both. But if you can't, if you could maybe put one of them in the flex, fine. Now, Hyde is interesting because when C.J. Beathard was there, he got more involved because Beathard was dumping the ball down to him and he was accumulating fantasy points from his catches more often. Now Garoppolo's in there. He's getting the ball down the field. He's finding Aldrick Robinson. He's finding Goodwin down the field. It's not as much
George Kittle of
Hyde involved in the passing offense. Mm-hmm. So that's something you got to figure out if you're in a PPR or non-PPR league. I would probably, in that matchup against Tennessee, they played well defensively last week. It's very, very difficult. I would play them both. If you had to choose, though, I would probably choose Hyde.
Yeah, I was going to say choose Hyde because everyone will start figuring out what Garoppolo and the 49ers like to do now with him under center, and they are going to take those options away down the field or attempt to take those options away, and this could open up some opportunities for Carlos Hyde.
You said you never cursed on the air before. Willie Colon cursed on the air. Mm-hmm. So we went back and we found the time you cursed on the air.
Pulled you over because you didn't signal. I did signal because I saw your ass. Of course I signaled.
Did you say it just like that?
Yeah, I said that's bullshit. I signaled. Then the cops said, actually.
You got to be careful with what you say here on the air.
I forgot where I was all of a sudden.
Yes.
But as I said, Your Honor, I cursed, but I wasn't really cursing. But I had to tell you I had to give you an actual recreation of what happened.
Time for our picks. Brian won last week.
Yeah!
2-1 week on the season, 34-41-3. I went 1-2 last week, 42-35-1. I actually like Brian's picks this week, so I think he's going to do well again.
Don't try to butter me up.
I think he's going to go 3-0.
Don't!
He's not quite Willie Colon level in my book, but he's getting closer. Hit Brian's music for the first time in 3 months. All right,
gotta go real quick. Hey, how about the Dolphins at Buffalo? It's going to be balmy. I mean, steamy. They're going to be sleeveless out there because it's going to be 33 degrees. No lake effect snow, none of that good stuff. I like Miami, and I like Kenyon Drake. These last 2 weeks, over 434 yards rushing. He is the man that defense, they can stop the run, and they will have to stop LeSean McCoy. Second most carries in the NFL. Oakland at my Cowboys. My Cowboys are hot. They found a running game, and they found their defense with Sean Lee back in the fall. And the secondary is playing a little bit better. No Amari Cooper. So I like the Cowboys, -3. And in case you didn't hear me, Mikey B, I'm taking Miami +3 in that Buffalo matchup. Last but not least, L.A. Rams at Seattle. We were just discussing that. You think it's going to be a high-scoring affair? I'm not so sure, but I'm taking the Rams and that defense. Aaron Donald and Robert Quinn, they're playing well, and they got the cover for that injured secondary, but I'm taking the Rams +2.5.
All right, Chargers on Saturday night, -1 at Kansas City. Give me the L.A. Chargers in this game. They're better. They're more consistent. I trust them. Phillip Rivers looks better now than he has in his entire career. Keenan Allen is about as good of a wide receiver as there is outside of Antonio Brown right now when it comes to consistent production. They have a consistent pass rush. I can't trust the Chiefs. I don't know who they are. Yeah, they played a really crappy Oakland team and looked good offensively in back-to-back weeks. Does that mean it's going to happen when you've got Bosa and Ingram hanging on your back if you're Alex Smith? Is Kareem Hunt going to do it again in back-to-back weeks when he hasn't done it for 6 weeks prior to that? No. Give me the Chargers -1 at Kansas City. Tennessee +1 at San Francisco. They were so damn bad last week against Arizona. I don't believe that that's going to happen again. This has to be a Marcus Mariota week. He needs to play well in this game. He needs to get back to running. He needs to get back to throwing touchdown passes. He has not been himself. The place to do that is against San Francisco. You run more plays against San Francisco than any other team because of the offense that they run, and their defense stinks. You can throw the ball. You can run the ball against them. They got to get right. Yeah, you travel across the country. Yeah, Garoppolo's winning games for them. Tennessee has to win this game. They can't fall off now and not get that other wild card in the AFC. So give me Tennessee plus one as a dog. I'm going on the road again at San Francisco. And the third one, also a road team.
Uh-oh.
Why am I doing this? Three road teams. Well, you took two games that I liked because I was sloppy in picking my games.
And, you are sloppy.
Yeah, so there's two games. I really like that Miami one. And then also,
just get to your games. Don't worry about my games.
And then the Rams, I like that one too.
Get off my games.
Baltimore, minus seven at Cleveland. After that John Dorsey comment, I think it's going to go the other direction. I don't think they're going to want to play for him. I think that they're all going to go out there and quit. And Baltimore's offense, let's not forget, everybody talks about how it was last week against the Steelers. They put up 38, how impressive that was. The week before, they put up 44 on the Lions. This offense is back. That Cleveland defense, they stopped the run. Maybe they thwart Alex Collins a little bit. Flacco is backo. Watch out. He's going to be throwing a ton touchdown passes. He's backo. He is backo.
Oh,
and deal with it. Deal
it?
With it. Deal with him being backo, Joe Flacco.
Flacco is back.
Ah! Oh, you've done way worse.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, you do it all the time. Oh, you know when you really get bad? Oh, by the way, Baltimore minus seven at Cleveland. Mm-hmm. You get really bad during football season because you get your little quips in there. Because on TV, you don't have as much time to talk. So, like, you get your little jokes in, and then you bring it to the radio. And then I'm like, oh God, it's all these dumb jokes, horrible jokes. So, you've done way worse, what I'm trying to say.
No, I have not.
You know who doesn't have dumb jokes? Willie Colon.
Sorry. Willie can have you. But that's totally different. See, I'm sharing a story with you.
Well, he was talking.
And I was being factual.
So was Willie. He was sharing a story.
You have to know where you are. And I wanted to give you a reasonable facsimile of what occurred when I was stopped. And it was an illegal stop.
You know, the best part about that audio is you didn't realize it at all when you did it. You just kept going.
I was hot.
You just kept going.
Don't mess with me, man. I'm trying to get to work.
You have a good weekend, man, right?
Yeah, you too, Flacco Backo.
Flacco is Backo.
Oh, gosh.
Ugh. That's the headline. The Baltimore Sun. Can't you see it?
Are they going to give you your attribution?
I don't need it. They can
you
have it.
You don't need it?
I don't need
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. You don't even want it. That's how bad it is. You don't want to own it.
Mikey B, Petey Meets, Bogish. Have a great weekend. Gio and Joe on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.